Hare Krishna. So, back in Budapest and back in Kali Yuga, or at least our Kali Yuga series. And this morning we concluded on verse 1 of chapter 2, Tatacha Vidam Dharmam. And when Shukadeva Goswami speaks about Dharma, he lists the four legs of Dharma, and we spoke somewhat about the last one, Daya, mercy, compassion. Actually, compassion is a better word than mercy. Mercy means kripa. And compassion is, maybe one can say that compassion is the actual sentiment and mercy is the exhibition of it. But in any case, they're connected. You get the picture. So in Kali Yuga, compassion, mercy decreases day by day. People, which means people become cruel-hearted. And of course, that really shows in their habit and attachment to meat eating, which Srila Prabhupada would often attack when he was speaking about thou shalt not kill and those who are meant to be following those teachings. But of course, people are not just merciless towards animals, they're merciless towards human beings, towards each other. Although we don't technically have a officially declared world war, but there's war going on all over the world. And for no reason at all, or paltry reasons, people are fighting, and of course those who are suffering are the innocent. The innocent usually are the ones who suffer. And the politicians who cause all the trouble, they live secluded in their palaces, surrounded by guards and so on. And even though there may be so many other people suffering, they're still in their protected environment. And do people really care? How much do we care? In fact, this weekend, I was really thinking about so many people who, particularly in the refugee camps, as a result of the Syria conflict, one of many conflicts. And I was even thinking of suggesting to some devotees who want to have children, rather than having children, why not adopt children? There are so many children around the world with no parents, living in brutally difficult circumstances, without food, without clothing, without shelter, without love. Why not adopt and love those who are already here in this world rather than bringing in others? And of course, then there are so many other people, a lot of people, who have more money than what they know what to do with. And while on one side people are suffering, they happily go about their own life of sense enjoyment, being oblivious to the suffering of others. So, daya, people are devoid of compassion. And of course, in terms of spiritual life, we often see the same thing, although in our present environment, in the world that we live in, generally people equate religion not with giving transcendental knowledge and illumination, but rather with welfare activities. And so we find that many spiritual organizations perform welfare activity as a sign of their religiousness as a sign of their spirituality and their awareness of God's desire that we love each other, protect each other. Unfortunately, getting back to animal protection, they draw the line at humans and seem to be callous to the suffering of non-humans. Now I'm talking about those religious welfare organizations, individuals, and leaders. And of course that goes for us in Krishna consciousness as well. If we want to learn to love Krishna, we need to reawaken this sense of compassion. We need to give rather than in our usual habit of taking. And why? Because the essential feature of love and compassion are one, and that is selflessness. Love is based on Atmindriya Priti Vancha Paripalikam. It is being selfless, that at all costs let Krishna be happy. That's awakening love of God, or that's a symptom of love of God. And whether I'm happy or not, whether my senses are satisfied or not, is not a consideration. And that's prema. Similarly, compassion is the same thing. When we recognize that we want to give to others and help others, whether it's pleasing to us or not, whether it's comfortable for us or not, whether we're inconvenienced, whether we have to adopt all kinds of difficulties for that, we think of the welfare of others. And therefore, just recently I was reading, and it may have been Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where these two things are linked together, that a person who loves Krishna, he has compassion for all living entities, and without developing compassion, one doesn't have love. So when we see religious organizations talking that the essence of their teachings is loving God, but at the same time they exhibit indifference to the suffering with others, and especially aside from the animals, that they don't take the difficulty, the austerity of what it means to take the teachings of God out on the street and give them to others, because people will not necessarily be coming or flocking to our temples, synagogues, mosques, and droves, then we can understand that such so-called professed love is not, well, to be kind, is not mature, if it exists at all. It may be a word, but what's behind the word is something else, or what's not behind the word. And we see, therefore, that Srila Prabhupada also described that there are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Gaushtinandi and the Bhajanandi. The ascent to perfection for the Bhajanandi is questionable, and if it's successful, it's very, very slow. Whereas for the Gaushtinandi, it's very rapid. And why is that? Particularly because this giving of Krishna consciousness to others, not only it attracts Krishna's attention, because we're doing Krishna's mission, we're doing Krishna's service, but also because it invokes that same type of inner sentiment, that selflessness. You have to be selfless. Just like right now, it's below zero, and down the Sankirtan devotees are all going out. There's no enjoyment in going out and distributing books. I mean, there's no material enjoyment. It's cold. People are running here and there frantically trying to get their Christmas presents. There's so many difficulties and obstacles with that. But still, Vaishnav certainly taste transcendental pleasure and transcendental bliss, because they're putting aside their own selves, so they're putting aside their own welfare for the benefit of others. And if we're willing to do that for the benefit of Krishna's parts and parcels, then hopefully in the future we're willing, then we're also willing, not in the future now, then we're also doing that for Krishna as well. Of course, to develop love for Krishna, one really has to be willing to go all the way to the extreme. And very often we see how in scriptures or Goswami's writings, they talk about how Mother Yashoda or cowherd boys or gopis are willing to give up their lives millions of times just for slightest pleasure to give Krishna, if it required to give pleasure to Krishna. But that's real selflessness. And if we cultivate this selflessness, then like a spark, it'll catch and it'll become like a fire within our own beings and our consciousness, and help us really awaken to that real mood that becomes the cause of attachment to Krishna and ultimately love for Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, this decreases, but if we chant Hare Krishna, then it will increase. As will duration of life, who knows? I think His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj said that Krishna takes those he loves first. That may not mean that you live a long time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only present for 48 years, and Shankaracharya for 32, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his early 60s, and Srila Prabhupada 81, so it's not exactly long life, but at least a valuable life, long in the sense that it's efficient. And pala, physical strength, not only the influence of the age, but lifestyle decreases all of these things. How people live, what they eat, all of their habits, their bad habits, all of these decrease their strength, their memory, their duration of life. But Kirtanadi Krishna said, if we chant Hare Krishna, then our memory and our effective strength and the value of our lives will become very effective, and so will our ability to cultivate that selflessness that is so much needed in order to develop and awaken real bhakti or real devotion. Yomi bhakti apriyachati. Hare Krishna.